Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we begin a Month of May series with Meg Jay, author of The Defining Decade, about people in your 20s. Today, the common anxieties that people have around your presence on Facebook. Now, some of you will remember that Dr. Jay was on with us a few weeks ago to talk about her piece in the New York Times about cohabiting with your partner in your 20s, and that was such a big hit that we thought Dr. Jay, who has a lot of useful advice and research and information at her fingertips, would be a great person to come on every Thursday in the month of May. So welcome back, and thanks for agreeing to join us this month, Dr. Jay.
Thanks, Brian. I'm so glad to be back.
And the phones are open, listeners, for your anxieties about your Facebook presence, 212-433-WNYC for people in your 20s. In this segment, 212-433-9692. And you write in the book about how you hear about, of all things, Facebook frequently in sessions with your clients. What do they talk about? Do certain kinds of Facebook-related anxieties come up a lot?
Far and away, the leading anxiety I hear about, and you would be stunned at the number of hours a week I spend talking with clients and them talking to me about Facebook, but the leading anxiety is that my clients feel that their lives feel low compared to the high life, it seems, all their friends or their acquaintances or their old boyfriends or girlfriends are leading, at least according to Facebook. People feel bad about how their lives feel in comparison to that.
So if that Atlantic Magazine cover story recently was Facebook is making us lonely, your practice tells you Facebook is making us feel inadequate.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, think about it. It sets us up for what social psychologists call upward social comparison. So our lives, where we know about our nights sitting on the couch in our sweatpants, eating a lean cuisine and surfing Facebook, we compare that to what people post on Facebook, which, of course, are their best moments. So they're that vacation or that party where they were in the center. And so that's a comparison that we can't come out of favorably. And it makes people feel anxious and stuck and depressed and like they're behind when really they're not.
One of your clients calls his profile a self-advertisement. What does that mean?
Well, interestingly, this client would talk about how he spent hours crafting his page and the posts and the pictures, and he was aware that it was very fabricated, and he called it a self-advertisement. But this very same client, when he compared his life to other people's pages, fell into the same upward social comparison of felt like everybody's life looks better than mine. He wasn't able to transfer that understanding that what we're seeing, you can't take it at face value, that everyone's doing what he's doing. They're putting up only what they want to show.
And another client, Talia, tells you that her 20s are supposed to be the best years of her life, and that seems to be what her Facebook feed is telling her about what she's supposed to feel, right?
I mean, we get that from a lot of places. These are, you know, seems like everybody wants to be a 20-something except for most 20-somethings, I think. But, you know, that these are supposed to be our unfettered glory days, but they don't really feel like that for most people. That's not the feedback you necessarily get when you look at Facebook or at magazines or, you know, blogs or whatever. It's not the way that it's portrayed.
Dr. Meg Jay, author of The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now. She'll be with us every Thursday in the month of May, and we're talking today about your relationship with your Facebook page. So the phones are open for anybody in your 20s to talk about your relationship with your Facebook presence. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Have you ever talked about Facebook in therapy? If so, about what? Lay some of it out here, or just ask Dr. Jay for advice, and chances are it'll help other listeners as well. Jesse in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
So, I set up my Facebook page, God, back in 2007, or 2009, I'm sorry, and I realized as I was setting it up is that it's asking you to give away a lot of yourself, not just information about yourself, but a lot of yourself. and in your 20s, I mean, those are formative years for people.
Right.
And not always the best decisions are made, and now that it's so interactive, you know, people can tag you, do this, do that. So on my Facebook page, I have an alias. All my friends know who I am. And every picture of me on that page is the back of my head. Because I just didn't see the logic in putting all this information about myself out into the world. Because, you know, I mean, didn't we fight wars to protect personal freedom?
So it's, it sounds like a combination of protecting your privacy and a little performance art at the same time. How about that issue, though, Dr. J, the extent of disclosure and whether people, through lack of experience, stumble into more disclosure than they realize was good for them?
Oh, I mean, of course that's going to happen. It's such a new medium that, you know, we're only beginning to hear the stories about, you know, you've seen it in the papers of bosses saying, give me your password for Facebook, or, I mean, it's a common, if not almost unanimous practice that people, employers look at people's Facebook pages before they ask them in for interviews or agree to hire someone, or they have other 20-somethings. They say, go on Facebook, check this person out, or go on Twitter, check this person out. That is beyond common practice at this point. So I think Jesse's being very smart.
212-433-WNYC. Rebecca in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So, you have a question?
Actually, I have a comment.
Good.
I am a performer, and generally I use Facebook as a way to promote myself, but I had to make the transition to not care and compare myself to other people's successes, and it heightens your social anxiety, but you're not around people. It's a very weird dichotomy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. It's so interesting. And I have been off of Facebook because I think as a therapist, clients really don't want to see my vacation photos.
Right.
Or they'll be sorry they did. But I'm on now, or the book is on Facebook now. And so it's been interesting because I do use it to promote the book, but I'm able to really see, like you're saying, how it quantifies how many people like me now, how many people are posting, and I can really identify with what my clients go through. And you're right, without those real conversations about how people's lives are actually going, your friends or your fellow performers, it's hard to really know where you stand.
Rebecca, thank you. In your experience with your patients, do they realize how much their peers are struggling? Like if Facebook were a real representation, then nearly a quarter of them would have a permanent status of still looking for a job or checking Craigslist for an unpaid internship or reformatting my resume. Maybe this will do the trick.
Right. No, they don't know how much their peers are struggling. I hear people say, I'm the only one who's not saving orphans. I'm the only one who's not having a baby. And I go through the statistics of this cannot be true and say, you know, how about talking to your friends that you actually have conversations with at work and ask them, does the boss yell at you also? Are you also stressed about losing your job? And when they go beyond Facebook and really talk to people about how their lives are going or look statistics about unemployment or underemployment, they're able to have a little bit of a reality check there.
Richard in Flatbush has a thought along these lines, I think. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how's it going? I like your show a lot.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm a graduate student, and something that my classmates and people I've met in graduate school do a lot is post low points, like, oh, thank goodness I finished that paper. Now I can sit in my sweatpants and eat ice cream or eat a lean cuisine. And
good for you. Like, thank you.
Yeah, no, there's this cycle of like, okay, now that we're done with finals, like, let's all just sit around and be schmucks and happy about it.
So it's kind of comforting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Very, but not, you don't see that often. Richard, my hat's off to you. You should spread that practice around more, I think.
Thank you, Richard. Jessica in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I actually avoided Facebook for a while because I'm 28 and didn't go to college until I was 25. And so then I signed on and found myself comparing my life and where I was at with my life and feeling lost with all my friends who had gone to school and were, you know, onto their some of them into their careers, and I couldn't take it, so I just cut myself off from Facebook several years ago and haven't been able to go back, which is pretty sad, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Well, Dr. J, what about Jessica or people in her position? Do you recommend cutting themselves off from Facebook? I'm sure there's a loss as well as a gain there, given how much of a social platform it is today.
Right. I mean, you know, I recommend with Facebook what I recommend with most things for 20-somethings in all ages is have the most intentional relationship as you can with Facebook. And so when you realize that it's becoming more about comparing than connecting or promoting, then you take a Facebook break. Some of my clients do sign off entirely. And sometimes it's just enough to have these conversations and catch yourself doing it and say, wait a minute, I'm comparing. I've been comparing for half an hour, and I only meant to come on here and check one message. I need to get off now. So just heightened awareness can help us be more intentional and more in control of how Facebook can serve us.
And you cite a study in your book about how important looks are on Facebook, and especially how important the attractiveness of people's friends are. What did that study find?
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They did a study where they had people rating page owners, so you know whose page it was for attractiveness, and the people who were deemed most attractive, the page owners, were the ones who had the most attractive friends. And that goes back to my client who said his page is his self-advertisement, is that you will hear people talk about this the way they'll say, well, I only want to pick pretty bridesmaids for my weddings. You'll hear them say, well, you know, I want to put my best-looking friends on my page.
That is something that must really make people crazy. I mean,
it does, because you become alienated from what's true and authentic of who are actually my best friends and what are the times I really want to share, or in what way am I just trying to make myself look good so other people will like me. It's very alienating.
On our comments page, two of our listeners gave some words of wisdom from what they say is a little later in life. One of them, Michael from Brooklyn, wrote, I am not in my 20s, I'm in my 40s, but Dr. J is spot on about the feelings of inadequacy and comparisons to others' lives. I quit Facebook for that reason. Eileen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm good. I was just thinking about this sort of in the opposite way. You know, I don't get validation from Facebook and how much I post and having people see what I do, but I do enjoy that I don't do that. I see people, friends of mine, friends on Facebook who I guess really aren't friends anymore, or maybe just acquaintances, posting about all the things they do and constantly putting things up. And I think, well, how exhausting that must be to have to have everyone know what you're doing to get some kind of validation in life. You know, the things I post are pictures of my dogs doing stupid things and things that I cook. I find that very exciting.
And you manage to stay out of that whole validation cycle?
I think so.
Thank you very much.
I think what Eileen's talking about is being able to compare on a deeper level, that she can look beyond the pictures and say she's proud of herself because she can look around and say, I'm not doing that with my page, and that's actually working for her.
And you wrote in the book about your client, Talia, and we just have a minute left, but about how she got out of the Facebook rut, worrying about how her friends saw her and what she saw her friends doing, and yet she did it without quitting Facebook, too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, most people do stay on Facebook, so the question isn't how to get off or whether to get off, but how to stay on in a way that's going to work for you.
Well, we will have to leave it there. Dr. Meg J will be back with us on Thursdays every week this month to talk about confidence at work. That's going to be one of the topics. What's actually going on in a 20-something's brain science, and how it influences choices and personality. That's going to be another week. And about the so-called urban tribe. She's the author of the new book, The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now. So, Dr. J, you're off to a great start here. Obviously, a lot of people wanted to call in and talk about how Facebook relates to their psychological state and their self-esteem and all of that. So thanks for answering those questions, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You can keep having that conversation online, folks. We have a page for this flowing from the conversation we just had at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.